You brought me a present. Oh, it's for Tyler. My bad. Oh, well. Goodbye, youth. God bless you. Adios, amigos. Bye, con Dios. You know, it's funny as you get older. Like, I've noticed, like, I'm getting older. I've just noticed this. Like, my hair turned gray, right? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me make a minute. Move Lisa down the prayer list. Thank you. But you know, I got this thing now. When I come home from work, I immediately put on pajama pants and slippers. Not a robe yet. That's coming. That's coming. But that's what I do. The other night, I drank coffee. And I normally, I'll come home and I make a cup of coffee, but I get home like 4:30, so I'm fine. But last night, like, I was just running late, so I got home a little bit later. I walked right in the door, and it was like a miracle. Dinner was almost ready. It was awesome. So, like, I'm starving, you know? So I sit down, and after dinner, but I'm still, like, in the mode of, like, I want my cup of coffee, I want my cup of coffee. So I drink my cup of coffee. And then I'm laying in bed. It's time to go to bed. But I'm going, like, you know, I'm going. I'm feeling a little tired, but I lay down in bed. My mind can't stop. So I'm like, man, I'm just laying there. I went to bed last night, like, at 1 o'clock. You know, it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. And I'm like, man. But why did I tell you that? I'm getting old. I don't know. But we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. But also, book of Acts, chapter 6. You got something to say? Decaf. I ain't there yet. I'm drinking the caffeinated stuff while I can. Matthew 5, Beatitudes, and then Acts chapter 6. Everybody there? Verse 10 says, blessed are those who persecute because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not persecuted because you are a grumpy person and you aggravate people and you make people mad. It is persecuted because of righteousness. And then it says after that, it said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's the Beatitude. Now, all of the other Beatitudes, as you look up in the other ones, they say, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are, you know, those who mourn, blessed are the meek. But in this one, it says, blessed are you and when people insult you. And then it says, again, blessed are you. The blessed is there twice. And I think it's there for a reason. You start off in the first one, and you have the blessed, right? Blessed are you because people insult you, persecute you falsely, and it goes for righteousness' sake. So what it's talking about is, like, if you are following, like, say, the first Beatitudes, the first seven of them, but all of those are internal ones, right? All of those, the Beatitudes, all of these are what's going on inside of us, what's going in our heart's condition. That's what all of those are for. This is the first and only one that is really exterior. So this is what's coming at you. So if you follow the first seven of them, you're guaranteed to get the eighth one. I mean, it's just going to be there for you. Have you ever been persecuted for righteousness' sake? You look over into the book of Acts, because this is a good question to ask yourself. So here you have in the book of Acts, chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them rose and complained against the Hebraic Jews because of the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So here you have two people groups inside of a church, and they're not getting along. One of them is doing something, and the other one's not happy with this. They're being mistreated. You know, and when we went to our conference recently, it was brought up, this is actually racial tension inside of a church. Could you imagine, like here at our church, racial tension happening at our church? You know, two different people groups. And now it's not that just they're just unhappy, because they were unhappy, but the problem is they were not being treated fair. I mean, it really was a racial tension, and tension was there for a reason, because it was actually happening in Acts chapter 6. Well, what did they do? They decide, hey, this is what we should do. The apostles got together and they say, well, we want to continue teaching and preaching. That's what our time should be dedicated to. What we need to do is we need to select among us men who can handle this problem. Verse 5, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. You see the description of Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. This is the person that, well, one of them that the church elected. And what the reason why they elected is because there was a problem between two people groups. And there was a racial tension that was happening between two people groups. So they said, well, you know, if the apostles are like wanting to elect other people to do this, we, the church, have to vote on, and we do that still today. We have deacons in our church. We vote on who the deacons are. That's what they were doing. They were finding men filled with the Holy Spirit. Not guys who were talented with great abilities. Not guys who were gifted with leadership. They say full of the Holy Spirit. Fruit. They had fruit. Stephen would have been described as somebody who was filled with the Holy Spirit but was gentle in his ways. You know, as it was said, you have to be as gentle as a dove, but as shrewd as a snake. Stephen would have fit that description. He can handle himself well. And then they also chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed, laid hands over them. So the word of God spread. Stephen. You flip over to chapter 7, verse 54. Same guy, Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. Same guy that called him in and said, you know, there's a problem. The problem was between the widows. The widows were being mistreated. So they chose a guy. I mean, I can't believe, you know, you just have to imagine how gentle somebody would be to working with two groups of widows. Can you imagine how gentle this guy was? Verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him, being Stephen. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out into the city and began to stone him. Stephen. He didn't know that. That's the first Christian who's killed as a martyr. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. Remember, they gnash their teeth at him. Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Remember, said they covered their ears at hearing this. They covered their ears and yelling at him, and they rushed him. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Stephen said, I see the Son of Man standing. You know, when you hear Jesus, we always hear Jesus seated at the right hand of God. I mean, think about that for a minute. How many times in Scripture do we hear Jesus seated at the right hand of God? That's his position. That's the position of authority that Jesus has. He is at the right hand of God, seated there. And then at this moment, he's not seated. He's standing. It's one of the only times in the New Testament you hear of Jesus standing. Stephen. And the persecution is something that some Christians face it, some Christians don't. Just plain and simple. And really, there's really just an idea that I have with this is basically, if you are on the devil's radar, you're going to get persecuted. Plain and simple. If you're not on the devil's radar, you're not going to get persecuted. There's no reason to. If you're on the devil's radar, you're going to face persecution. If you're on the devil's radar, right? If you're somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit, you're on the devil's radar. If you're somebody who speaks of faith, who acts gently in situations in a godly way, you're going to be on the devil's radar. And you will face persecution. If you are not on the devil's radar, you will not face persecution. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:9, "For it seems to me that God has put the apostles on display at the end of this procession like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings." That was Paul writing, and basically what he was talking about when the Roman generals would capture Christians, they would parade them, literally parade them through the streets on their way to be killed. And that's how Paul was describing it. He goes, "It seems to me that all of the apostles are putting on display, like we're at the end of this parade." Like, in other words, we're getting knocked off one by one. You know, it seems to me like you were at the end of the whole procession. Like those condemned to die in the arena. Matthew 11:9, it says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners,' but wisdom is proved right by his name." Now, Jesus faced persecution. Jesus faced false allegations. And he says, "Hey, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of me." It's not like, you know, Shane is persecuted because, you know, like if I'm just a bad person having a bad day, yeah, people are going to get upset and grumpy. But when the persecution that he's talking about is when you are filled with the faith. John chapter 15, it says, "If the whole world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me, Jesus, first. If you belong to the world, it would be as if you had loved as your own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." If you're on the devil's radar, you will face persecution. And if you are not on the radar, you will not face persecution. You know, persecution comes, you know, a lot of it comes down to how, you know, think about this. When the world brings persecution towards you, why would they be doing that? Like when they were bringing persecution towards Stephen, why were they doing that? They want you to shut up. That's why. They don't want you to speak anymore. They don't want to hear it anymore. They just want to put the whole thing out. But the whole reason why they crucified Christ is they thought, well, for sure, once he's dead, this whole thing will end. And then 3 days later, surprise. So then they came to the apostles and they said, you know, hey, if we can knock off the leaders, then this whole thing will end. But then new leaders rise up. Persecution comes because the world doesn't want to hear from you. Persecution comes because the world is not wanting to hear, you know, anything about Christ. You know, look at it this way. From the very dawning of time, from the very beginning, there has always been sinful people. And there's always, as soon as sinful people come in, and then you have righteous people, you always have persecution. Right in the very beginning of Genesis, you have Cain and Abel. One of them brings a righteous sacrifice. He has a righteous behavior, you know, about himself. And then his brother gets all upset, so his brother kills him. It was because of his righteousness. You are guaranteed to face persecution if you are on the devil's radar. How you handle yourself. Because that's why the world's coming at you. What they want to do is they want to try to break you. They want to, you know, and it says in the end times, and even really today, you know, today in Christianity, you're seeing all these posts. I don't know if you are, but I am. You know, have this, and I'm sure it's just some type of media stuff, but I'm sure there's also some truth behind it. You have these Muslim leaders coming up, and they're like, you know, if Christians in America don't renounce Christianity, the only thing between us and them is a sword. That was the newest one I read today. I read a story of a girl going into the Roman arenas, and she was a 22-year-old girl, had a six-month baby, and her and her brother were converts to Christ, and they were arrested, and she was sentenced to death. And the whole thing is, if you renounce your faith, then you can go. She would not renounce her faith. Again, you will face persecution if you're on the devil's radar. And when you face persecution, what Stephen did is Stephen focused on the promise. He had focus on the promise. It says, so the word of God spread, and then the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith. The word spread. You're going to face persecution. Acts chapter 7, verse 8, the very next thing, it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, verse 9. Whenever you have that great faith, you're going to face trials. You're going to face tribulations. You're going to face the persecution. Then in verse 12, you're going to face false accusations. So they stirred up to the people, the elders and teachers, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They stirred up false allegations. And then between verses 15 to verses 52, you have Stephen's whole sermon that he gives. He pretty much goes through the entire Old Testament, retelling the stories, retelling how, you know, one person after the other who stood up for God, primarily Moses was the person, and how the people rebelled against Moses because Moses was standing up for God. So when facing persecution, we focus on the promise, and it's going to give you what I'm going to call is the posture that you need. It's going to help you make a stand. In verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, and Saul approved of their killing him, Stephen. That's the same Saul that changes his name to Paul. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. That's what you call the dysphoria, right? That's the great dispersion. You have the books like the book of James. You know, if you read James chapter 1, when we went through that. You have, you know, James, he's talking to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. That means when this persecution starting here started to break out and persecution started to break out everywhere, what happened to all of the Christians is all of the Christians left this one place and they all scattered to all of the other places. And guess what that does for the gospel? Spreads it. Your posture, verse 13, it says, and this is in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 about that. I'm sorry. It says, you are the salt of the earth. That's your posture. That's who you are. We focus on the promise. We focus on the kingdom. And it gives us the posture that we need. And you're the salt of the earth. I've always loved that little verse. When I was a kid, we would go to my Aunt Bea. I had an Aunt Bea. I really did. It was Beatrice. We called her Aunt Bea. We would go to Aunt Bea's house. It was way out in the country. And this was an old farmhouse. My great-great-great-great-great ancestors get off the boat. They buy this property. They build this house. It's the same one I got to go to when I was a kid. It was the coolest little thing. I had a little cellar done. It was into a hill. I had a little cellar. You could go down. That's where they would keep all the meat, the storage, back in the old days. We didn't have any refrigerators. You put it all in there. You take the meat and you pack the meat with salt. Why did you pack it with salt? So the meat wouldn't rot. The salt is a preservative. You're the salt of the earth. You're the preservative. You're the depravity that's hitting the earth. You're what the world is packed with to stop the rot. You're the salt of the earth, man. I love that. And what and here's the other thing. You get a great little hamburger like we had tonight. That hamburger wouldn't have been nothing without a little bit of salt sprinkled on it. You're the flavor that seasons the earth. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, again, if you're not on the devil's radar, if you're the salt, you lose the saltiness, you're not on the devil's radar. If you're getting persecuted, blessed are you. That means that you're on the devil's radar. That means that the devil's got it out for you. That means, man, you are living a life for Christ. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. That's your posture. You face persecution, you focus on the promise, you're the light of the world. That's who you are. You know, Christian, don't ever forget that. On your worst day, don't ever forget that. You get tattoos, get that tattoo right across your forehead. Just kidding, don't do that. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And I love how he explains this. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You know what town he's referring to? Jerusalem, God's city. He's saying, hey, man, that Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're God's city. And then in verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You're supposed to be on the devil's radar. You're supposed to be on his radar. Instead, they put it on its stand on the radar where the target, and it gives light to everyone in the house. That's who you are. That's what you do. In the same way, let your light shine before others. In the exact same way that he just explained, Jerusalem, the city on the hill, in that way, let your light shine for others. Don't be timid about it. Be bold about it. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good deeds. Action. It's not all about words. Prayer is one, and I'm not, don't miss prayer, what we do before we do the action. But it's prayer and action. The church definitely exists on prayer. But it's the prayers that motivate the hearts of people. It's the prayer that motivates our Lord in the heavens, who opens up the doors, opens up, gives us the pathways. Let others see your good deeds. I think the world's tired of seeing just inactive churches. I think the world's tired of seeing Christians who say they're Christians but act just like the world. And they're not on the devil's radar. They face no persecution. You know what? Go out tomorrow, go get persecuted. Go find somebody. Poke them in the chest a couple times. Rile them up. Just kidding about that. Everybody's looking at me like, really? You're the flavor, you're the preservative, you're the light, casting away darkness, allowing others to see. Being salt and being light is a description of a stance. It's what we are to be, it's what we are to do. Living out our faith in others, in front of others, being on the devil's radar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you, God. I do pray, God, over, Lord, the body of believers here. Father, not that in any way we are going out looking for trouble, but God, we are going out looking, God, to take your gospel. Lord, would you provide us that opportunity? Lord, if it would be today, if it would be tomorrow, God, would you open up that door? Lord, would you provide us the opportunity, God, maybe to speak to a lost person? Would you provide us the opportunity, Lord, to help redirect a Christian who has been a lost sheep and needs to be brought back to the sheepfold? Father, would you open up those doors for us? And God, when you do, Lord, would you help us to be bold? God, would you help us to have courage? Would you help us not to lose faith? Lord, would you help us to see that it's your hands that has opened up the doors, that you have been there, you have set this situation that is in front of us. This is the exact thing that we have prayed for, what we have asked you for, and now you have blessed us with the opportunity. God, don't let us forget that. Father, I pray that when we face persecution, Father, we keep our eyes on the prize. We remember the posture of who we are, the children of God, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.